Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome. I just clapped again. I have to figure out why I always clap. But welcome to the next episode of Empowered in My Skin, the podcast. For the YouTubers, you can see that I'm joined by an amazing human. But for everyone else that's listening, okay, let me talk a little bit about this incredible powerhouse of purpose and transformation. She is seasoned change leader with over 20 years of experience helping people navigate life and work with clarity and confidence. She is also host of The Powerful Evolution, a podcast for women ready to trust their intuition and step boldly into their next chapter. Whether it's career shifts, motherhood, or menopause, she brings real talk, deep growth, and unapologetic empowerment. So get ready, everybody. Put your ears, put your hands, put everything together for a massive podcast welcome for Connie Tuntas. Tuntas. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. You have so much energy.
So
I love it.
So thank you for saying yes. We're going to talk about that yes in a minute, but I just, you know, for all the listeners and watchers and all this, any other, it's funny, Connie and I are actually neighbors. Like, you know, yes, so I won't give out our addresses so that you're not all hunting us down, but we're like, I don't know, maybe there's 10 houses between us or something like that.
Probably.
So we have a neighborhood.
I walk by your house every day.
Yeah, right. And me too, the other way around. And we have this neighborhood WhatsApp group. And it's very interesting. We actually all came together because there was going to be this massive high rise that was going to be put into our precious neighborhood. And we went crazy because we were like, it's going to block the sun. There's going to be vagabonds
walking down our street
to come on our street. And we were all so offended.
It's going to become a problem.
We're all so offended. And we got all caught up in it. And 2 years and nothing.
Nothing. I don't know if it'll ever happen, to be honest with you.
But the good thing about it is it brought us all together. We have this chat. We watch out for one another. There's some very unique people on our street. Oh, some absolutely. People have more time on their hands. But we report stuff. Like, you know, there's a car on the street. It's been there for like 3 hours. Does anybody know?
Some guy's just sitting there staring at people as they're walking by.
Yeah, it's and funny. So and then we have positive people in the chat and we have some negative people in the chat.
Oh yes. Yes. Thank goodness for you, because I think you keep us all in line sometimes.
And if anyone knows me, I just like great day, amazing humans.
Honestly, and that's what made me reach out to you, because your energy was like through WhatsApp. I was like, I have to know this woman. Where is she? So I just did a Google search and there you were. All this time we lived on the street. How long have you been on the street?
I've been here for 7+ years.
Okay. Yeah. I've been here about 10.
Okay. Yeah. So you were one of the early, you were in like in the new builds, like the early ones that went up. Yeah. It's a beautiful street anyway. Gorgeous.
It is.
And now you're all wondering, where do you guys live? We live on a beautiful street.
We do.
Somewhere in the universe. Yeah.
So but we all get sucked into sometimes these like crazy, you know, neighborhood conversations.
We actually need a neighborhood blocko. We should just have a blockout. Yeah. Like
we should.
Yeah, we should before the summer runs out. Do it in the park or something.
That would be fun.
So on to this interview. Anyway, so it just came and then I found out that she has a podcast. So we just kind of started following each other and I was like, oh my God, I have a podcast. And okay, well, how about you come on my podcast? And then you're like, oh, you can come. And I was like, okay, well, I took the dive and here she is. And funny enough, I'm gonna hold off there because I do wanna open up with my signature first question. So Connie, what has been your most empowering thought of the day so far?
So my most empowering thought of the day. So I woke up a little bit frazzled because I've got two boys and we had, one had to go to baseball in Barrie, okay, and one had to go to soccer just here in Richmond Hill. And we are kind of, everybody's up early and, you know, running around, and I wanted to get my workout in and I wanted to do my whole morning routine, 'cause I have one of those. And I thought, like, oh, you know, when you wake up and there's just so much to do, and I was like, oh my God. And I felt a dread come on. And then I thought, you will make this day. You can make this day.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make it a dreadful day, it'll be a dreadful day, or you can make it what you want it to be. So I kind of sat down. I tried to get a quick meditation in before the kids like woke up and, you know, started, because what they do, they know where to find me in the morning where I do my meditation and workout, and they're just like, come, you know, crashing in. So I did. It's like, okay, you can make this day. So we all can make our day what it is. So that was my empowering thought.
And so far, it seems like it's a great day. And here we are at 11.
And here we are.
Yeah, I know, for anyone, you know, we batch these episodes, but it's like, it's 10 to 12 right now. And we've been laughing for like the last, we had a pretty long B-roll. So we came on the platform at 11:10. So.
Yes.
I always promise to get my guests out at the time I committed to, but I've been having a lot of fun with you. And so, so let's talk. I think, let's just open this up, because I think that sometimes we don't bet on ourselves enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that this has been a great learning experience. And so when I invited you, I think you said yes, but then you hesitated. So what happened? Like, walk us through what happened.
So I've listened to your podcast, and you've had some really amazing people on. I actually listened to the one with Anita this morning. Guys, go back and listen to that. Oh, that is an amazing episode. And I thought, oh my goodness, what could I potentially talk about that would be so amazing that people would want to listen? Because with my podcast, I intend to have other really great, interesting people on, because it's not about me. It's about all these other people. So it took a while. You sent me your folks sent me the link to pick a date. And I kept like procrastinating on it and procrastinating on it. And I reached out to you and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm kind of second guessing like what I could potentially talk to you about. So I finally did it.
I shut that down.
Yes, you certainly did. Should I say the word that I was thinking?
Yeah, sure.
The imposter.
Oh, we're going to talk about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I delayed, because I was a bit, you know, second guessing myself.
So this is what I would say to you. The people that should second guess themselves are probably the people that have never even thought or dared to host a podcast where they can step into their courage and do something that a good portion of the world isn't doing, right? Like, I think it's not just amazing people that do podcasts. So, but I am saying that, like, in the podcast space, the main fact that you are willing to serve in that way, in my opinion, qualifies you well to be interviewed, to even talk about, like, what got you there, because something got you there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can even just start there, like, just to validate why, of course your voice matters, you know? So what got you to wanting to do a podcast?
For me, it started with, I hit an age where I was kind of looking at my life and saying, what have I done? And, you know, I have a great job. And I've been with the same company for many, many years. And I've been fairly successful in my career from that perspective. But I also felt like there was something more. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that more was. I had thought about doing a podcast for quite a few years. And I always thought that I had to do it with someone, because I didn't want to do it alone, right? So I was like, so I was asking my friends, hey, you want to do a podcast? And they're looking at me like, no, I don't want to do a podcast. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just thought everybody would want to do a podcast with me. So then I sat on it for a few years, because I was scared to do it alone. I thought, you know, it was a big step. And I was thinking one day, you know, my kids are getting older, my parents are getting older, and you start to think about your own like age and your mortality. And I thought, well, if I'm 80 and I'm sitting there looking back at my life, what would I regret not doing? And the first thing that popped into my head was the podcast. It's like, I would regret not having at least tried it. So I was working with a coach at the time, and we talked about it, and she's like, let's just do it. Like, I'll help you. She has her own podcast. So she's like, I will help you work like the logistics of it. Let's move forward. So I did. And I've always thought, you know, I want my kids to look at me too and think, you know, I want them to do great things, and great things to everybody is different. And, but I want them to see me as like not being fearful of doing the things I want to do, because I want to inspire them to be able to do things that are a little bit difficult for them. So, that's what got me.
Yeah, I love it. And are you now that you're over it? Because sometimes it's like Will Smith, there's a great video that Will Smith has where he starts talking about when he, was skydiving. So he was talking about his skydiving experience, and he talks about like the truth is there's no point to be scared until you're at the edge of the plane about to jump off. Everything before then makes no sense. Like you're ruining your days, or your, you know. And so now that you're on the other side of it, how do you feel?
I felt a bit of relief when I initially like released it and announced it on my Instagram page and all of that piece. It was like, okay, I've got it. But then the fear jumped back, like kind of came back, because I was like, okay, so what now? Like, are you going to have people that are interesting enough to get an audience? And then you start having all those thoughts of, what if, and what if, and what if. So most days are good. But it's still, I feel like, you know, you have those times where you question yourself, you know, and you question whether, oh my goodness, am I going to make this successful?
Yeah.
So, but I think that now, since I crossed over, it's been a lot easier.
Yes, it is, isn't move. It?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes,
then you just get better. Sure. Like, what is it? They say 10,000 hours makes you. Yeah. So yep. Let's talk about your 10,000 hours, because you did talk about being in an organization for some time. And I believe that your background, and maybe you could talk a bit about that, like your expertise and whatnot, but is around change. And yes, helping people navigate change, and which is so challenging. And so what would you say, like from that lens, as you've had to help people move through change, what would you say, like what does evolution, what does change mean to you on a personal level?
Change to me on a personal level means growth. I would say absolutely 100%. It means fear, because when you're changing, there's a lot of fear involved in the change. And it's about pushing through even when you feel that fear, which is not always easy. And sometimes you need support with that. And sometimes you just got to dig deep inside yourself to get there. Change is a constant, I find, in organizations and in life in general. So for me, it's definitely a necessity. It's the only way you're going to grow and you're going to move forward. It's never going to be easy. It's going to feel uncomfortable, but it's about pushing through that discomfort to get to the other side.
So I'm somebody in an organization, change is constant, it's true. And Monday I get to work, or Tuesday, they never do anything on Monday. Tuesday, an announcement goes up and it's Ender's change announced. What's the first thing that you would say would be the best thing for me to do to at least start, like in a way that serves me?
To restart?
To accept that, like to take on, so change has been announced. I read the email. What would be the first great thing that I can do that serves me the best after getting that news?
I think it's to take time to absorb. Take it in. What does it mean to me? How is it impacting me? How is it impacting my job? And take I would say like some time to yourself to absorb it. And then I would go and find out as much information about it as possible, because I think the best way to help folks through change is to give them as much information on what the change is and how it's going to impact them. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have all the information you need, it's go out and gather it and see how it impacts you the most, so that you can ready yourself for it.
And in your experience, mm-hmm. what is it that the most people do? Like, I think that is actually really,
panic.
Yeah.
They panic. And for most change projects that I take on, what I try to do is to make it disseminate information slowly and surely leading up to the change, to have people begin the change process before the change actually happens. Mm. So they start to think about it. They start to adapt to it. They're aware. So when the change happens, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh my God, what is this? It's like, okay, I knew it was coming and this is how I prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And now I can move forward mm-hmm. from there. And I find I implement that in life too, even with my kids. When I know something's gonna rock their boat a little bit, it's slowly but surely getting mm-hmm. them ready mm-hmm. to reach that point where they are comfortable.
I love that. And it's interesting because you are right. Change happens quite constantly. But if I think about it in the corporate context, there was a time in my career where I just got so tired of, I'm going to call it, so there's something I always say, that change and transformation are constant, right? So I started mm-hmm. to say that I want to be in the rooms where change and transformation were happening, so I'm no longer stuck in the yard where the consequences are received, yes. right? But before I could get in the rooms where change and transformation were happening, one of the things I wanted to present myself as was a change agent. And so that meant when change happened, irrespective of whether I liked it, agreed with it, didn't, or whatever, I was like, how can I, to your point, I love that as a starting point, understand it, and then position myself to help not only myself get through it, but others around me.
Yes. Yeah. Change agents are important. And if you can have a lot of change agents on your side while you're making the change to help support the other ones that are slower to adapt to the change, they're super helpful. But if you can understand that change is constant and it's going to happen regardless of whether you want it or not, and to prepare yourself and become that change agent, you're in the best position possible, especially during organizational transformation. Mm-hmm. And like you, I've always wanted to be in the rooms where, you know, the transformation was taking place and happening, so I could understand it. And then I could help others to get through it. I've sort of thrived on transformation. I've always worked on transformational projects up until recently. Mm-hmm. And recently I've been more in the operational level of mm-hmm. and having the change kind of come at me from that level. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I enjoy it as much. I'm going to be honest. I kind of have a change fatigue, and that's why I left the change world and went back into operational kind of land. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that I really enjoy being in part of mm-hmm. of the change than having the change happen to me. Mm-hmm.
Change fatigue is actually something that is quite often talked about or termed, like, you know, and I don't know, like, it's a thin, right? Like, it's, but I don't know that there, I don't know if there, if you can avoid it, right? So go.
That's what it's tough with organizations mm-hmm. and they struggle with it. We're quite a large organization and change is continuous. And whenever a new change comes, people are like, oh, not again. Like mm-hmm. we just changed that. So we've met several times and like, how can we do it so it has less of an impact, and how do we roll it out so that it's not, you know, overlapping another change? And I just think that it's going to happen. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure, especially with large organizations, if you can avoid change collisions, if you can avoid, you know, having too much change come at one time, you could do your best to minimize it and maybe change dates and move timelines around. But, you know, and in today's world where technology is completely
ever-changing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, we as people have to start to learn to adopt to change
yeah.
a little better.
And something you said earlier when we first started on this sort of topic, you actually talked about, like, as human beings, we are constantly changing anyway. And it's funny, I don't know, I read it one time, like, it's like our cells, like, if you start to think about who you are at the beginning of the year, a year later, all of your cells, like all of your skin has regenerated, the lining of your stomach has been replaced, like every, I don't know what all of the different stats are, but if you, if you just kind of chat GPT that now, you could, like, on a daily basis, like the essence of who you are is constantly changing. And if you could just, like, simplify it like that and just recognize, I wake up this morning and there's a lot of changes actually already happened that I slept through and woke up to in the morning.
Yeah. At every stage of life, we were talking about menopause and perimenopause earlier and how that changes us as women, right? Mm-hmm. And how that, I feel like it's also changed. And I don't know if it's age or it's perimenopause, but I feel that, like, from 2 years ago till now, I've almost become a different person.
Really? What have you noticed the most?
I a little less fear of change and making changes for myself and my family. Mm-hmm. And
so you have more courage? Is that?
More courage, maybe that's right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more courage. And I would say less people pleasing. Mm. I mean, a recovering people pleaser. And I feel that as
I don't want to knock fists, but I understand.
That's a tough one too, right? I think I've spent my whole life people pleasing. So it's definitely a tough one, but I feel that in the last couple of years, I've become less.
Mm-hmm. Where did your people pleasing come from?
You know, I would say, years of therapy, but I think for sure it was as a child. I think I was taught, I come from a European background where it was kind of like, whatever you're told you should do, you're not to question the adults in your life. Mm-hmm. Childhood where I would say I definitely had some trauma. Mm-hmm. I was always trying to, like, make things better around me. Mm-hmm. So I would people please to make sure that everybody was happy and nobody was upset and nobody, you know. So I think a lot of it came from childhood sort of.
And how did, as you start to sort of wean your way out of it, mm-hmm. How would you say that evolved your relationships, especially those that were used to Connie's gonna just do?
I think it's been tough for some people.
the main benefactors.
Sure. Yeah. Like my mom. Okay. The other day. It's funny because she's, you know, relies on me for certain things that I know she can do herself. So, you know, I was pushing back a little bit the other day, being like, Mom, you can do that yourself. Come on, you know you can do it. And she's kind of like, okay, fine. I'll let you go now. So I think it's like, you know, not that, you know, it didn't last long. Like, she called me back an hour later and was fine. But I think, you know, people don't know how to take it.
Yeah.
They don't know if it's like you just being mean. Mm-hmm. I think it might be perceived as, because that's not usually me. Mm-hmm. But I think after a while they get used to it. Mm-hmm. They know.
And so it's interesting because you actually had to learn enough about yourself to realize that that's what it was. And then you have to have courage to say, like, it's almost like you start saying no.
Yes. Which was a tough one for me.
And what was the starting point? You just had to do it one day?
It was in therapy is when I came to realize that it's, you know, it's not normal. I thought it was just normal. I thought everybody did it. I didn't know it wasn't normal. I was like, really?
I think a lot of us do, but yes, it's not normal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you mean people tell people no? Although people have said no to me, and, you know, I just...
You think they're mean?
I just think they're mean people, no. But I think it was like, it was around that 2 years ago where I was just like, I couldn't anymore. Cause I was running myself ragged, trying to get everything for everybody done. And I just realized I can't, like, I'm important too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you, when you're saying yes to everybody else, you're taking away from yourself. Yeah, yeah. And I couldn't do that anymore because it was impacting my health. Mm-hmm. It was impacting me. So
Yeah. Mel Robbins, I was listening to a podcast she said, and I love this. I saved it, like equal and reciprocal. Like yes. Equal and reciprocal. And so now when I start to think about like my ideal relationships and those that I feel that I know that I could thrive in, that's a big value statement. Equal and reciprocal.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've talked about change, we've talked about your transition and so I want to know for any listener that's sort of sitting on this edge of either after they've uncovered a little bit about themselves and recognizing that there's some changes that they can make, but it's going to impact other people because people have been so used to meeting them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So standing on the edge of that, even like maybe starting a podcast.
Yes.
What's your advice?
You're going to feel scared. I felt terrified. I think the first time I was going to say no to somebody, you're going to feel terrified and you just have to push through. You have to know that on the other side of that comes amazing things for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to go through a little bit of pain and discomfort mm-hmm. to get where we really need and want to be mm-hmm. and what's best for us. So I would say don't stop at the discomfort. Mm-hmm. Just find a way to push. Keep pushing through. Yeah.
Does everybody need somebody like?
And sometimes you do. I think especially for the podcast, I needed that push. I needed that support. And don't be scared to, you know, there's coaches out there and, you know, they're there for a reason. I always compare it to, you know, athletes. I've heard this comparison and that's what kind of made me realize that coaching is helpful is like there's no athlete out there that gets to where they're going without a coach.
Oh my God, they have coaches, they have performance, like they have regular coaches, they have performance coaches, they have therapists, yes. They have like...
They have everything. So why do we think we have to do it on our own? Yeah, and we don't. And I do have a therapist and I was working with a coach for a while and the help is there. Take it. We can't always do everything on our own.
Yeah, no, I love that. So I have to ask now, how do you feel? We're like 25 minutes in.
Wow, so much better.
Yes. Having fun, right?
I was nervous. I actually was thinking this morning, I was like, maybe I should call and cancel. I wouldn't have done that because I think that's horrible and I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me. But I was like sitting at soccer with my son going, oh boy. Like, you know, my stomach was all nervous. So,
but no, but this is, hasn't this been, come on, hasn't this been fun?
It has been fun. Absolutely.
So I'm going to put us on blast because I have to look because there was something that you said that day and when you're like, I feel like I don't want to. And I was like, just fill out the form and let's get you scheduled.
Yes. And you said your energy is amazing, which helps tremendously because let me tell you, it's fantastic. So thank you so much because I appreciate being in your energy.
In the vortex. I thank you. Thank you. Actually, I'll close on this before I go to Rapid Thrivers. So thank you for saying that because I would say that what I find is your energy, because we all have mm-hmm. energy, is calm mm-hmm. and but very empowering. Is calm and empowering.
Yeah. Oh,
so, thank you. So just energy is ours to hold. The question is, do we extend it and give it out? And I don't think we can without there being certain practices that keep you grounded. So you talked about some of that in the morning. So can you talk, because mm-hmm. you said I have one of those. So you can talk. Can you talk to us about what one of those are?
Yeah, and the reason I said that is because I find that everybody's talking about morning routines right now and evening routines, and you know, there's the 5 a.m. club. Mm-hmm. There's that book. For me, it's I wake up at 5 a.m. usually every morning, and it's 15 minutes. If it works, a meditation, sometimes it's 5 because you know what, mm-hmm. not every day is the same. And then I do some journaling and I try to get some reading. I tend to read nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I don't read a lot of fiction. So I have a book that I, you know, am and like I take a while to read through it because I'll read maybe 5 or 10 pages a day. Mm-hmm. I'll do some reading on there, and then it's my workout. And I've been working out from home since COVID, and I currently have a trainer. So she does a 6 a.m. class, oh, nice. Like on Zoom.
Oh, nice.
So I do some weight training in the morning, and I have a Peloton. I'll do some Peloton, and then my kids wake up. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's, you know, lunches and get them dressed and get them to school. And it's all that craziness. But I don't think I could get to that.
Yeah.
If I didn't have this time for me.
Yeah. How old are your kids? Yeah. Should I ask you?
So turning 8 in August and turning 11 in November.
Oh, nice. So the 8-year-old plays soccer and the 11 plays
baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. Okay.
Two very different sports.
Yeah. Awesome.
Busy.
So I'm going to take you through some rapid thrivers. So when you think of somebody who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
Okay. This is going to sound cliche, but Oprah.
No.
I just find her completely inspiring. I've been watching Oprah since I was little. I always say Oprah raised me because I was like, I don't know, 8, and I'd be like recording Oprah so I could watch it when I got home. So yeah.
And I love that we could still watch her. Like, I love her podcast. I know.
Love she's it.
Yeah. I'm a
total, amazing human.
Can't wait to meet her one day. What is a daily, so you talked about, but I'll still ask, what's the daily activity that helps you with your thrive? Is it meditation?
I would say it's the quiet time. It's the meditation. Mm-hmm. I take some time to ground myself. And
do you have a room you go and do that in? Do you go outside?
I do.
Okay.
So I have a room that is kind of under construction now because I'm going to make it kind of I call it a mom den. It's going to be because I work from home. So it's going to be like where I work, record my podcast, of have my quiet time. Mm-hmm. Yes. My husband uses our office. So, and I don't want it because it's on the main floor and that's where everybody is. So
This is another room. Okay. This is, we have homes like that.
Yes.
In this neighborhood.
We're very fortunate.
Fortunate. Yes. What is a book that has helped you with your thrive?
So the most recent one that I read is Conversations with God.
I wonder if you've mentioned that before.
Neil Diamond Walsh is the author. It's very, very good. And it's one of those books where I first, I read it many years ago, and then I was going through some boxes like a few months ago and I pulled it out again and I was like, oh wow, I need to read this again. Okay. It's really good.
Okay.
I do recommend it.
Okay. Thank you. What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
It's the most recent one that I actually downloaded and it's called Activation. I got to see, it's called Activations. Mm-hmm. And I listened to her on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And they're basically like little snippets of recorded audio and it's based on different things. So there's a morning, you can do it in the afternoon. It's like when I'm putting my makeup on it's empowering statements that are either repeated or she walks you through like journaling prompts or it's really, really great. It's called Activations. Okay. And it's,
I'm actually going to look that one up because a lot of people name apps, but that one makes me want to check it out as soon as we're done this podcast episode.
It's actually great. And she even says like in the podcast that I was on, she's like, you could do it yourself, record your own sort of activations. Yeah. But honestly, it's like there's a library of them and they're really, really great.
Okay. I'm going to check that one out. And what is one misconception that people have of you?
I would say that because I'm quiet when you first meet me, that I'm an introvert and I'm not, but I'm really, really not. I'm like, in my current job, we moved from in office all the time to at home. And I think I'm going a little bonkers because I love to be around people and I love, the conversation and the energy and the, so I'd say that it's that I'm introverted.
And you're more on the extrovert.
I'm more, for sure.
Yeah. I love that. So where do we find more of you online?
So you can find my podcast, Powerful Evolution by Connie, on whatever podcast platform you listen to. I'm also on LinkedIn. And you can find me. I think you'll include the links.
Yes, I will. For sure.
Thank you.
And as a parting question, please finish the sentence. I feel most empowered in my skin when...
when I'm being... my true self. Yeah. When I'm not putting, you know, I'm not putting on a show for those around me. It's like when I'm really being who I truly am.
So you're most empowered in my skin on this episode.
Yes, I would say for sure. 100%. Aww. Thank you so much.
I love you, neighbor.
I love you too. That's amazing. We got to go for coffee, neighbor.
Yes, we will. We will. We can go for a walk. We can go to Baskin Robbins. We can walk to Baskin Robbins. Yes. They see me all the time. I'm so embarrassed to say that. Did you know that in the last day of the month you can get like, I didn't know that. I just
found this out too. I think I like last year. Only on the 31st.
Oh, so no month of the 30th.
You know, only on the months that are 31.
Okay, so I didn't miss it. I thought I missed it in June. I was like, no. Okay, it has to be the 31st of the month. So this month. Yes. Okay, I'm putting it on my calendar.
We will go together.
Okay, done deal. Done deal. And so to anyone that's listening to this podcast, this is Sally where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.